I just want to address a question that is often addressed to me, to myself, might bother some of us, even though we're good Orthodox even. And that is that sometimes one wonders that the Gedolei HaDor, our great leaders, seem miroivan fizunusom, so to speak. They are not proactive. And it seems to be sometimes that they don't create enough, they don't design enough, they don't start new movements and so on and so forth. Apart from the fact that TR, or the Gedolei HaDor, so to speak, and this is only in a very superficial look, looks a little bit, it doesn't look as thematic, if you like, as sophisticated as one would want. But I want to explain this point through some of the parashas we've been reading, through the life of Yaakov Avinu, and even going back to the Chet of Adam Rishon. We look even at the stories that we're being told at the moment about Yaakov Avinu, we find an interesting phenomenon. We have the parasha coming up, parasha of Yosef HaTzadik, again a continuation of Yaakov Avinu. We have the dream, the vision, Yosef's vision, Yosef's dream. And if we understand properly, correctly, there's a debate here. There's a fight here, so to speak. And the brothers hold this is a roidus and he's married to a malchus, and Yosef holds he ought to be the melech, and so on and so forth. There's nothing, it's not so simple, it's something wider, large ramifications. And yet, the famous words we see about Yaakov Avinu, Oviv Shoma et Adovo. Oviv Shoma et Adovo. Lumonoshach. He's a melech, the malchus. Do something about it. If he's the melech, do something about it. Oviv Shoma et Adovo. Last week, Parsha, you have even more astonishing words. It says, Vayishma Yisroel. He heard. Yeah, segment poshet. I mean, Kaviyochel. We're talking about Yaakov Avinu's ears. He had good hearing. What's made of Vayishma Yisroel? Reuven built Elsie Oviv. Vayishma Yisroel. What's it telling us? Vayishma Yisroel. And he heard. And what's he meant? Let's look at last week's Parsha again. You have the famous Maestro of Shechem. The brothers, particularly Shimon and Levi, Hogwish. And they have again a debate between Yaakov and his sons. And the sons proclaim the famous words, Hachazonia Yaakov, Hachazonia, how are we going to leave this blemish, this blot? On Klal Yisrael, so to speak, how can we have such a thing? And they're left, actually, those words are left ringing in the parsha. Those are the final words in that debate. What is that debate? What does Yaakov Avinu want from it? So he says we have to be more diplomatic, strategy, and so on and so forth. What midah do we see here? What can we see is going on? I've got to talk about a certain midah. And this Middah L'Chorah begins with Odom Arishon. Now the Havon in Odom Arishon we don't have. Our Hatsoga, our understanding of a man who didn't have parents, so to speak, at all, was created by Rabbeinu Shlomo. Who was Omed, his feet were on the ground, his head was in Shemayim. He understood the whole Bria, gave names to Bria. We don't have Hatsoga. This wasn't when time was the same time. Air wasn't the same air. Earth wasn't the same earth. The molecules weren't the same molecules. A different Bria, different time and Kufa. However, as much as the story of Adam Rishon is written in Torah, there's something to be learned from there. The Torah is umum pedagogue. The Torah is the educational tool, if it would be chashon. You can't call Torah tool, but it is something that educates us, and therefore we can learn something from the story of Adam Rishon. We're told that Adam Rishon fell, so to speak. There was a chet called the chet of Adam Rishon, and that chet, the tikkun of that chet, if you like, was spread throughout 6,000 years. The Shishal Shnin, which we are part of now, coming towards the end of, that the chet of Adam Rishon was spread out, divided into many, many smithereens. It was smashed to smithereens, and each smither, if that's the right word, was taken on by every generation, every person, to be able to be to fix up. Now, to work backwards works like this as well. L'chaira, and this I have support for, one could find cautiously and carefully, delicately, and with Yiro, with true Yiro, one could find in every chet you have nowadays something, an echo, a small something which has a similar molecular structure to the chet of Adam Rishon, somewhere along the line. In every petty chet that we find nowadays, one could go back and find that. The simple ones, one could say, there's Taiva, the eighth was Nechmor, the nine, etc., and so on and so forth. You can see Merida, one could see curiosity, as Yosefla puts in, so on and so forth. I've got a very interesting one. Something very relevant. What was the pitui? How did the Nochosh, and this is the Emeser word, produce Chavo? How did he create this matzav that Chavo and Adam Rishon finally partook of the Eitz Hadas? What was the pitui, the final, the sort of the telling phrase that he told them? If you look, you see that he says as follows. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that from the day that you eat from Eitz Hadas, says like this. You will be creators of worlds. Now you have to really understand that, again, we can only understand Chumash, but this is another shmooze I can't go into, through the way we understand ourselves. It's only a very, very small facet of understanding Chumash. But if we would set up for ourselves such an historian, a person who is an artisan, a creator, an artist, whether it's music, whether it's entertainment, whatever it is, a person who can draw well, but he's a real artist, he lives through it. He would live in a cardboard box in Paris on the side of the sand because he has to get the purple light at the morning. That's the only thing. And that's his koyach, and that's his power, and that's who he is. His art is him. But everyone has that. Even people could create with money, by the way. It's also artistic to a certain extent to make money and do things with money and build meisters with money and even business meisters. It's an empire. There's a creativity. There's that. Look at three. Someone has that koyach. And he knows what to do and how to do it. He's got everything ready. He's got the capabilities, he's got the tools, the quality, and so on and so forth. And he's told, no, don't. Don't do that. Just don't create. You can do it, but don't. This burning, this push, this desire. How can I not? How can I not? I know what to do. Adam Rishon knew what the world was about. He gave names to the world. The chayas in the world, he gave names. He actually designed, if you like. He was a shutev almost with a Rebbeinu Shlomo. He was almost a god. The Malachim thought he was a god. He had a riesige, riesige koyach of creating. And he knew how to fix the world up the way he wanted the world to look. He could do that. He could create a whole universe. Create a whole universe. And the Nachosh comes along and says, you want to really do it? Just taste from this Eitz Hadas, whatever that means. And you will be able to design a whole new world constellation. Remember, Hevei Domeloi, which is the way we are similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the way we become great. Adam Rishon must have had that in the greatest way, because he was closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any barrier was possible. He was actually, you see a cup of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So he wants to be a boy ray. Go and create. And the answer comes back, no. Be a Nibron, don't be a boy ray. The Rizig in Isoyan, Rabbeisa. A Rizig in Isoyan. Because he's right as well. He knows what to do. He knows how to fix things up. He knows how to design world. Yotzei Lomoy. Come to know, don't. What midah is required for that? What midah does Adam Rishon need in order to survive as a non-boy ray? One word in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's called sablonus. And sablonus is an interesting word. It means patience in modern Hebrew. It comes from a sort of sevel, which means to suffer. In fact, in English as well, the word suffer and sevel are very similar. The letters are formed in the same way. Sin, and a L are all formed in the same way. Tevel, to suffer. Because patience means to suffer. What's shut in patience? What's the long verse in patience? How do we understand? What is being patient? Being patient means that this thing ought to happen. I need something to happen at the moment. You're waiting for a bus, if anyone waits for a bus. I think nowadays it's more like people wait for their computers to work, because you've got the latest, the smartest technology, and it's got to work in a second. So that many. You know your tweet takes now 2 minutes, and you're sitting in front of the car. Get on with it, no? What's the chat? The chat is this ought to happen, and because it's not happening, I'm suffering. So patience and suffering is the same source, the same word. Something that ought to happen that doesn't happen causes me pain. How do I survive with that, Matzer? I'm patient. In fact, the word in Ivrit is sevel. Sorry, in Ivrit is sevel. There's a sabal. A sabal, whatever a sabal is, always give the example. If you see an ex-oiler fridge walking along the road with two legs underneath, then you know there's a sabal there. In fact, whenever anyone's moved Zira or ordered some major domestic appliance, like a fridge or something like that, what you will have, you have two hulking Israelis. Mummies, two big fester sabres going up the stairs, and the kippot, etc., etc., talking to each other, and they bring along a 95-year-old little Arab man. As they get them, with a mustache, as they get them. And you don't know what he's doing there, what's to say. They come, they schmooze you, they make the whole deal, they take all the money, and then all of a sudden you see the action start. Then they go, and he comes along, and they put something on his back, and they take the fish, put it on his back, little fellow, and they sort of down the stairs, they do with their fingers, they stop it sort of hitting the wall. And air gate dot, and they say, Amadim al-Hamad. That's a sabal. And sabal means someone who can plug it, he can carry, he can bear it, without it dropping off. Sevel, sablon, and sabal. You know something, Alta can count. The Talmud from Rabbi Yisrael Kalanta said, Bon Yisraga, the midas ha-sablonus, the source, the root of all milas and midas is savlonas, midas ha-savlonas. It brings the posture. When we say hallel, we say that in hallel, right? Oidchos, yang yisconi vatmili yishuo, zeh shah la-shem tzadikim yavoi voi. The shah la-shem tzadikim yavoi voi is the yisconi, so to speak, the inuyim and the tzoros and the sever the person suffers from. We're going to explain it if we have enough time. Odomarishan, in whatever way, again, with all the years of code we have, failed the test. Wasn't enough sablonis, Lu Yitzu. The opposite of sablonis is ka, be'etzem. But there's this havana that I'm groping towards, if you like, which is telling us that he has here, when a person has a vision, when a person has a dream. I had a dream. There was someone who said that once. You have a dream. And the dream is not miskayim. Then you have a test. You can even look at it. I'll tell you, I'll give you an example from this week's parasha, another example. You have Tomor, the mitzvah of Tomor and Yehuda. And think carefully about this mitzvah. The simplistic or the simple way of looking at the nisayon of Tomor was as follows. What happened to Tomor? Tomor had a she'ifa, l'shem shamayim, to be part of, to create, to help Yehuda in the founding of his dynasty. Because that's going to be David HaMelech, that's going to be Mashiach HaKein, which is the tachlis of the Bria. And she was absolutely Lishem Shomayim. Meaning it wasn't for her. The Raya, by the way, was the difference between Tomor, Shufam of Yehuchim, a Gveldiger difference between Tomor and Eshes Potiphar. Also in the parasha. Also Lishem Shomayim. She wanted to be part of Yosef. She knew she saw Benavuah, Bechaloyim, etc. again, and she wanted to be part of Yosef. She knew that it was supposed to be hers. What happens when she fails? Yosef refuses. Then she lashes out. If not me, then no one. If not me, then no one. But there was a small nagia, a small, that this subtlety of self-interest that caused Eshes Potiphar to lash out. I'm not doing it. No one's going to do it. Whereas, when Tomor sees she's going to fail, now she's L'shem Shemayim. Now remember the Nisoyim. People think the Nisoyim of Tomor was to burn to death. That's not Nisoyim. That's not Nisoyim. That was done already. That wasn't the Nisoyim of Tomor to burn to death. That wasn't the Nisoyim. Mutav, Shifa, Lovan, Taikusan, Ains, etc. The moment, you know what her Nisoyim was? She was achieving the Tachlis of the Bria. She was already halfway there. She already had Tumi Bebitno. So, and she knew she was right. She had the Ged of Nebuah. She knew this was going to be how the Moshiach was going to come into the world. This is the Kodesh Baruch Hu plan. This is Tachlis of the Bria. So she has this vision, she has this dream, she has this design, she's creating now, she's making a whole world, she's making the Moshiach, so to speak, she's giving it this validity, and it's going to happen through her. Comes along an instruction based on Medrash from Avraham Avinu, that the Oilom Chesed Yibone, not like the Nochosh, Oilom Dimyon Yibone, as those up in Sifrei Kabbalah. The power of the Nochosh was dimyon, fantasy, design, create, make things, you can do it, and so on and so forth. No, you're given a world, and in this world you have to function with chesed, with building the world from within, not designing dafka, a whole new world. Oilom chesed yibone, not oilom dimyon yibone. Aisha's got a dream, Aisha's got a vision, Aisha l'shem shemayim, Aisha, this is going to be the Moshiach main of a mutav. Go and jump in the fire rather than embarrass someone. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the world built. Not through grandiose plans and ideas and so on and so forth. And she does that. That's the Nisod. And even you find it by the two Emois as well, by Rachel and Leah, the same thing. Why did Rachel and Leah, what was their rivalry? Again, utterly l'shem shomayim. Unfathomable to us what they really wanted. I mean, those in a little bit of Kabbalah, Ima, Leah, and Rachel, but it's under Zachon, the big Olomos, we're talking about Heicha people, we cannot have our dog in. What do they want? Again, Shiftei Kor. And solely that, Shiftei Kor. Comes along the time when Rochel is actually going to be Mekayim. Her plan is getting fulfilled. Her dream is going to happen. The vision is going to enact itself. She sees her sister crying. Again, the same instruction from Avraham Avinu. You can't do that. What will be the plan? What will be the vision? What will be the dream? What will be the shift they call it in the matter? And who says you will marry Yaakov anyway? And who says, I'm not saying 100%, but who says she didn't lose out from this? Who says Rachel didn't lose the biggest shvatim because of that mitzvah? Because the etzem in the history of Klal Yisrael, Leah's shvatim, interestingly enough, people more look a little bit too romantically at Chumash, but the etzem, Leah's shvatim was Iker. The Torah, Gehuna, Be'etim, the Bechorah, and the Bechorah Be'etim stayed by Reuven, except for, so to speak, Ephraim and Menashe, but I might say she had the big, Sarkoz Vulun. And I'm not saying this is the most strong Mashiach Ben Dov, Mashiach Ben Yosef, I'm not going into what would have happened to Yosef, but she didn't know what would be the vision, what would be the dream, doesn't matter. That's how you have to function. And that requires terrific sablonus, sevel, kenish, it's not going like I want, not going like I understand. Things aren't happening correctly, properly. This ought to be done, and nochitz l'shem shemayim. No, don't do it. Gvaldik is tavlonus. Yaakov Avinu has this tavlonus. He was savil. Of all the others, he was the most savil. But you see the non-immediate response. Shimon and Levi, there's a campaign. Pardon? Fatimah. It's a campaign, you've got to fight, you've got to dismamish, it's a fantastic rallying cry. But who says? Who says that's the way to go about it? And he doesn't tell them off. Within that night, he doesn't tell them off. Why not tell them off straight away? He waits till the last departure when he's going. And when you won't see his sons anymore, then he says, Tainom, Shoir, Apom, Hoguish. Then Yaakovina tells them off. Shem. Yosef, Vayishma Yisrael. Yeah, it's shayach to hear and do nothing. Lehepah, Torah's off, Vayishma Yisrael, he heard about it, and I hear. And then, again, when the best time for Tachocha, the Shas, the Petira, so to speak, of Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, then he comes along and says, Pachas Kamayim, then he gives him his Tachocha. A Gabal began a halach from Sevel, Savlonas. But this is a creative mahalach. Let me jump now to Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. Very quickly. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. Why were the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila called Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? What did they say in Pirkei Avos? Let me make a connection between those two things. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila were called Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. They were from the Bnei Rochel Mu. And this is again another shmuz we can't go into now, between the difference between Bnei Rochel and Bnei Leo. The Bnei Leo were the Bali Hoidoyo and the Bnei Rochel the Bali Shtiko. What was the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? The fact was, Klal Yisrael were depressed, oppressed, and suppressed. They were the lowest rung amongst the goyim. Ayin Reisov, Ayin Reisov, how can we say, okay, you are God, you are Gibor, but no, it's not possible, we're not going to say it. We'll take it out, the Shemoin Esri. We can't. Where do you see the Bain Yisrael? Where do you see Klai Yisrael? The Beit HaMikdash destroyed. We're dispersed. We're unhappy. We're in Golus. Where do you see? Where's the glory? Where's the power? Where's the glory? Where's the covenant? Where's the pride? Anshik Ezekiel come along and say, Lemaise, the very fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, that already is a terrific Gvura. That's Gvura. One of the Gibor is someone who allows the Chorban and doesn't respond. An example of that would be the Nitziv, who allows his yeshiva to shut down. His whole creation, his whole life, the Gevaldige, the superb yeshiva Volozhin was allowed to be shut down. That's Gvura. That's Gvura and Gedula. When the principle that's required. No, also, when you see there's Shivim Zevim, and the little lamb is surviving amongst the Shivim Zevim. It's not even a dog, it's not nothing, it's not a wolf, it's a little lamb amongst Shivim Zevim. That's no roi. So we can say, okay, la God, la Giba Vanor. It's a very subtle look. It's a very non-obvious look. It's looking at the Gvura, the Gdula, the Neirois within Golus. In the B'diabed situation, let me put it like that. Not in the L'chatchila situation. Not as one would have envisaged it. Not as one would have had a dream about it. Not as one would have created it. But in the non-creation. In the lack of creation. In the lack of movement. The lack of power. The lack of glory. Ich zeis da, I see here. Gvura, Gdula. No, I see Rabbi Yishleilem in the matzav of Hester Poni. And if you think about it, Anshik Nelson Gdola said three things. Take the other. This is the two-step. It said, immediately tell me the Mahabe, I see the Shogla Torah, and we're still in Badin. Now if you think about it, these are all three B'di'evet situations. The Maharal somewhere says that they saw there was a watershed, they saw there was a drop in the power of intellect, so to speak, of the fact that people could function purely with their intellect, with their Havana, the body kicked in, time, space and body, without going through all the details, how the Maharal says it. But he says that therefore they realize we've got to do something about a new matzah. This is a matzah for the era. Think about it. Have you been sitting with him? Why? If you're a big Talmud Chacham and you know to learn, you know how to pass, you know how to do. Why do you have to have a delay? Why kick it over again? Because we're not lechatchil anymore. We're not straight. We're not direct. You need to have that patience. Mesunim, the same lashon, hinting as Rashi says by Yankov Avinu. You have to do it slower. You have to acknowledge. The B'di'evet. You have to acknowledge that you are in the secondary situation rather than the primary situation. Go slowly. Hemikus Hamidim Hadha, why? One Talmud is enough. One Talmud more. But here's the Rebbe, here's the Talmud. He's a clone. He's exactly like the Rebbe. Shadi, it doesn't work like that anymore. There was too much of a drop. There aren't going to be Talmudim. You read the Sabdariya, it's again a B'di'evet sort of situation. You have to acknowledge that you're a reader from the Rebbe to Talmud, so we need hundreds of Talmudim to fill in that space, and that's the way to function. Yogs are saying the same thing. Many people have problems with yogs that rabbis make. Why can't we just do the Torah? Says in the Raisa, we'll do the Raisa, we'll do exactly what's written as it's written. You're not taking into account Yetzer, body, forgetfulness, so on and so forth, which are all B'di'evet, which are all not L'chatchilas. It's true, why should you need the yog? Just do the thing directly. That's L'chatchilas, that's the dream, that's the vision, that would be fantastic. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. We need something called Yog the Torah. The Antik Nesis Agdola, who really led us into Golas, this watershed time of Golas, we're all sitting in now, whether in Eretz Yisrael or in England, wherever we are, we don't know where we are exactly, but wherever we are, there's a Golas, the functioning, the way to look at Klal Yisrael in Golas is Antik Nesis Agdola. With Savlonus, not with a vision, not with dreams, not with we have to create, we have to make new, etc. to keep turning over things. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be creative, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't have an inspiration, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try and do things, avada, avada, avada. But we have to know there has to be Mesunim, there has to be a Siog, there has to be Tamidim Harber, there has to be a consensus, there has to be so many things, because the way the world functions is just turning over things, creating new things, especially from a little person who has this, you know, I found the flaw in Judaism, I found the flaw in Haredi Judaism, I have to change it all. You found the flaw. G'dayi Olam, leaders have got that patience not to have, if you call it in English, the knee-jerk reaction, not straight away, not to respond straight away. Wait, let's see. It's very good. You fix this point up. What about 100 other points? There's a ripple effect. There's other things could go wrong. Looking long term. We're in Golus. We can't do, we can't create always in a Lachatchila situation. It's not even Golus, it's just the person where he's born. We're all born, not a blank page. We're born from parents, with middos, economical situations, so on and so forth, environment. No one's born a blank page that they can now begin their lives from A to B. I once told the Bokrim, that's why the Torah starts with a base. Why does the Torah start with a base? Because you start in the middle of the story. You can't begin at the beginning, and this desire, and you clash, and you're frustrated, and then you'll lash out with cars when you feel things aren't going exactly like I want. This will finish on the following day from the Mashkiach, Zichroini Lebrotha. Seis HaShemesh Begurotha. The Shemesh, the sun, has a physic power. Basking in the sun's light and heat, lights up, sustains, warms the whole world. That is what is called in Musa terms the Poel HaGomor. It's an actualization. The acme, the peak of an actualization is the sun, the center of the world. The physicists and the scientists will tell us. The sun, what the power of solar energy, that's not, right in the middle, it does everything. What is an example of someone, a person who's the Poel HaGomor? So you take a big Rosh Hashiva, Lu Yitzu, you're taking Torah. A big tzaddik zits and everyone basks in his kedusha and tzidkus and the grace of him and so on and so forth. What about maybe a big askan, someone who does a specific amount for the killer and is in the middle of everything, his house is open all hours and people go, he builds things, he's got a lot of money and he gives it to stockers and so on and so forth. Even maybe if he's going to the second world, a president, a businessman, somebody who's done, who makes, who creates great things. What does Chazal tell us? Chazal tell us, someone who's making these doing. That old man, lonely old man in a hospital who can't move. He's suffering. He's stuck away. No one knows about him anymore. No one cares about him anymore. No one visits him anymore. He has no sex on anyone anymore. He's suffering, you sue him. He's suffering. Stuck by himself, old man, old woman, even young man, young woman. By themselves in the hospital, can't move, can't do anything. But the Mekabel Ba'avo, Smechem B'Yisurim, he's a Soivel. And he's got Savlonus, the middle of Savlonus, to be Soivel in Yisurim. He is a Shemesh. Big Vuro. And Mi Yoyma, as the Mashkiach puts it, who can say who is more of a Shemesh Big Vuro? That well-known, popular, active, proactive person who's doing it all, or that person who seems to be a nothing, but his relationship with Rabbeinu Shloim is such, he's Mekabel Yisurim Ba'avot, he is a Sovel, he's got Savlonas, that's what our Golus is, and he's taking that middle of Golus, not trying to get rid of him, he's not Boyit for Yisurim, he's not Boyit in the Golus, which you find many people are trying to do nowadays. Mekabel Zayin, within the Golus to function, to work, within the Golus, Avada one has to create, but not to be Boyit with the Golus, not to be Boyit with the Yisurim that closed, so stuff at the moment. That, I think, little bit of a window to maybe understand the question I asked right at the beginning, and a little bit of a mahalach in the parsha. Thank you. It's good.